Welcome, everybody, to episode 47 of the Pixel Power Podcast. I am your host, as always, Steven, and it has been quite some time since I last spoke with you. I sometimes feel like in our COVID environment that I'm busier than I was in my pre-COVID environment. So I apologize for the delay, but I think I've got a great episode for you today, chock full of great information about getting more use out of Christini and Linux. The Christini and Linux podcasts seem to be the most popular of the podcasts that I've had in the past. I get more listeners whenever I publish those. So I decided to expand your knowledge of Christini and Linux by trying to make it easier today for you to install applications through a package manager or an application manager known as Flatpak. Now, if you're familiar with Linux on other systems, you're probably already familiar with Flatpak. If you're not, what I have found is I believe Flatpak to be a superior way to manage applications under Linux beta on Chrome OS under Christini. Boy, there's a long title for you, right? So we're going to dive into that today. And then I've got a full featured addendum. Obviously, since I've not been with you for a while, we've got a lot of items to cover. I'll be covering those. And also a little bit of a program note. I've mentioned in the past that I wanted to purchase Pixel Buds. The Pixel Buds 2 are on their way. As a matter of fact, they'll probably be here early next week. So look for a full review of the Pixel Buds either in the next episode, or I may wait one additional episode just so I have a chance to spend some time with them and see how I like them and give you guys a real review of those devices. If you've been reading some of the blog posts, some of the reviews lately, evidently the Pixel Buds have been having a problem staying connected if you cup your hand over your ear. There also seems to be this belief that that can be fixed with a firmware upgrade. So maybe by the time I get it, update my firmware, I won't have those issues. But look forward to that episode. Again, just another Pixel device that we can add to the Pixel Power Podcast. Okay, before we dive into Flatpak and start talking about that application manager, a little bit of feedback. Longtime listener Raul joined me for a YouTube Live marathon a couple of weeks ago where I took the Raspberry Pi Zero Super Retro Boy and I installed those into this wonderful case that looks like a Game Boy Advance called the RetroFlag GPI case. Actually, it looks like a Game Boy, not the Game Boy Advance. So Raul, thanks for keeping me company. It was about 2 hours where I was just on Facebook Live. I went through the entire process. If you would like to see that video, you can check out the link in the show notes, as well as the show notes will have a link to the RetroFlag GPI case if you'd like to see that. Now, there is that long marathon 2-hour version, but I also squashed it down into a smaller, about a 30-minute version if anybody's just interested in the nuts and bolts of doing that. Also, Redditor John EW was able to snag a free Google Nest along with me. If you're not on Reddit, you may have missed that. Those of us that have premium subscriptions or YouTube music subscriptions, you could snag a free Google Nest Mini. And so I have the link on Reddit for you to click so that you can check and see if you're eligible for that. I think that promotion is still going on. So hurry up and get out there and check out that link on Reddit. Redditor Appropriate Style saw a post I shared about messages for the web getting Google Fi integration with calls, voicemail, and more. And he had a great wish. He wished that Hangouts in Gmail would be replaced by Messages for Web. And Appropriate Style is that is exactly what I would love to see too. So again, another Redditor, appreciate the comments from Reddit. One last Redditor, Tartan Matt answered my question last week, or not last week, but in the last episode about the Stadia Progressive Web App version and what's the stability like with that as opposed to using an actual Android app on a Pixelbook. And he says a little less lag and fewer crashes, at least for him. So as we've talked about last time, progressive web apps seem to be the future for our Pixel devices. As a matter of fact, in today's addendum, we're going to talk even more about progressive web apps and get you up to date. So that's the feedback from some of the listeners. Thank you, listeners. I always appreciate your feedback. Love reading your comments. Love your tips. If you have feedback you would like to provide, be sure and check out the show notes for all the ways that you can do that. And I will talk about those again at the end of the episode. Okay, as always, this show includes a comprehensive set of show notes. You probably will need those to try and follow along, or as I like to say, play at home, especially as we start talking about Flatpak and how to install and manage applications. So I'll go through those pretty quickly, but if you really want to do this yourself, make sure and check out the show notes where I've got everything outlined so that you too can install Flatpak and manage applications using the Flatpak Application Manager. Just to kind of bookend this show, I want to talk about the different ways that you can install applications in Crostini, the Linux beta virtual machine. First of all, if you already have it installed, you know that Crostini is based on Debian. As a matter of fact, the latest version is Debian 10, which is Buster. That's the code name for that distribution. And apt is the default package manager. Of course, you can install applications using apt, and it's a command like sudo apt install and the name of the app. What I found, though, and this is true in most Unix distributions or Linux distributions, especially Ubuntu or Debian based, apt may not necessarily have the most up-to-date application. So then you may say to yourself, well, okay, so if apt doesn't have the most up-to-date, what's another application manager I can use? And many people will immediately go to Snap. Snap is another type of application manager that you can install. It's very similar to Flatpak. The difference, as we're going to find as we talk about it, is Snap includes all the dependencies that you need for an application within a what they call a snap or a bundle. Think of a snap as a bundle. Not only do you get the application, you get everything else that Linux needs dropped into that snap bundle, and that's installed to your computer, or Chrome OS in this case. And that's to allow for better sandboxing and protecting of your system from malicious applications, for instance, or from applications doing something they shouldn't do. The problem with that is the dependencies are not shared across different snaps. Also, the other thing I found is I had sometimes great experiences, but mostly not great experiences with snaps. Some of you may have found that snaps are working for you, and I think that's fine. But the other thing that I'm not so keen on is that Snap doesn't actually provide instructions for how to install on Chrome OS, so it's not technically supported. So another way that people have been installing applications is through something called AppImage. AppImage is similar to Snap, but what you do is you download the application, you update permissions, and then you have to run that application from the terminal. Snap has the advantage of actually creating an icon in the launcher sometimes. It's iffy. AppImage will never put an icon in your launcher. You're going to have to run that from the terminal or create a desktop file to put that in your launcher. And another way you can install an application is as I did when I installed Arduino on Chrome OS. So see that post on stephencombs.com or at YouTube. If you'd like to see an example of that, you can just simply install from source. And I won't go into that process because I talk about that in that post. However, Flatpak remains my new favorite of all of those. App Snap, App Image, and installing from a script. Flatpak is by far my favorite way to install applications under Crostini for the following reasons. First of all, you get the most up-to-date applications. It's got most of the popular Linux applications. Now, with any of these, it's going to be hit or miss what's included. You do wish, you know, that there was one place you could go get every app you needed, but unfortunately there's not. So Flatpak has a good balance for me of the most popular and the applications I need. It has an excellent variety of applications across a lot of different, like productivity, graphics, video. So you'll have plenty of apps to choose from. It's very easy to update applications. If you're familiar with apt and how to update, it's very similar. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's easy to locate applications. This surprised me, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's so easy to install from the terminal an application, even if you're not sure it's available, and we'll talk about that. The other thing I like about it, remember I said Snap included all the dependencies within a Snap package. The nice thing about Flatpak is it shares dependencies, so you're not going to duplicate the installation of dependencies when you use Flatpak. So that should, in theory, reduce the use if you've got a small hard drive of that space. So how do we get started with Flatpak on Crostini? You know, it's very easy. Now, the irony of this is you have to use apt to install Flatpak so that you can manage applications. That's just the way it goes. So what you're going to do is you're going to launch to the terminal. You're simply going to type sudo apt install Flatpak. Now, I should say Flatpak is F-L-A-T-P-A-K. In case you're thinking about throwing that C in there, it's F-L-A-T-P-A-K. Now, once you do that, that will install Flatpak. So if you were to download an installation file from FlatHub, which we'll talk about in a little bit, then it would allow you to install that application. A better way, though, is to also add the FlatHub repository to your Chrome OS device. Now, I'm not going to read that entire thing, but the link for that is in the show notes. You're definitely going to want to go to the show notes, grab that, and throw that into the terminal. But that's going to add the FlatHub repository. Doing so will allow us to search from the Flatpak command in the terminal for applications. It's pretty slick, actually. And then the last thing that I highly recommend, and this isn't required, but it is going to save you a lot of time, you need to set a password for your super user. Now, generally in Chrome OS, we don't do this. Generally, it just defaults and uses. But in this case, what I want you to do is go in and type sudo passwd and then your username. And then what it's going to do is allow you to add the super user password to your account. So you won't have to keep typing in the password, because what will happen is if we don't go through this process, Flatpak is going to drive you crazy asking for yeses and nos. Every time it tries to change anything, it's going to say, do you want to or do you not want to? Do you want to or do you not want to? And you'll hit yes 8 or 9 times for a single installation. But by doing that one command, again, it's in the show notes, then you will bypass all of that. Now, if you're not sure what your username is, in the Linux terminal, just type, who am I? All one word, who am I? And it'll tell you what your username is. Again, that's in the show notes as well. Now, before you start trying to install anything, you probably want to find out what Flatpak applications are available. And there's a great source for that. There is a website called FlatHub. I believe it's flathub.org, link in the show notes, where you can go and you can see all the different applications you can install. Now, what I try and do is search for all the ones that I use and install on a regular basis. I try and get everything I can in FlatHub installed first. And then those applications that are not available in FlatHub, then I go out and I use other package managers to install those. There's also on the FlatHub page, a popular applications page that you can look at to see what's the most popular applications available. That link is in the show notes for you as well. So that's how you can search to see if your favorite application is available through FlatHub. So now what we want to do is we want to install applications, and there's a couple ways to do this. Now, if you go to FlatHub, the website, and let's say, and I'm going to use Audacity as an example because I'm actually recording in Audacity right now, but I'm going to use that as an example. If I go to FlatHub and I say, I want to install Audacity as a Flatpak, FlatHub will give you a file that you can download. You want to download that to the Linux drive partition. And then what you can do is you can do a sudo Flatpak install and then the name of that file that you downloaded, and it will install that application. I've got a demonstration in the show notes that shows you what that looks like. Remember when I told you, let's install the FlatHub repository on our device? That was step 2 of the installation process. Then what you can do is simply type Flatpak search Audacity, for instance, and it'll tell you if Audacity is in the FlatHub repository. If it is, what you can do is simply type sudo Flatpak install Audacity instead of this long file name that you had to download from FlatHub. It'll go through, it'll look for instances of things that look like Audacity. For instance, in my case, it said there's 2 things available that you might be interested in, Audacity and Audacious. And so I can look at those, and it'll say, which one of those did you want? And I'll say, well, I wanted number 1. It was Audacity. So it's trying to do some matching of the search string. And I say yes. And then I have the option to install that for the system or for the user. I always just throw it out there for the system. And so I choose that, and it installs it right from FlatHub for me. Now, once you have the FlatHub application installed, of course, you might want to check and see, for instance, what applications you have installed via Flatpak. You can do sudo Flatpak list. That'll list all the applications. And you need to be very careful, because you can remove a dependency file by itself that could bork up an application. So just be careful. Only remove applications. Try to stay away from dependency files when you're using the uninstall command. So let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, to update your applications, what you would do is simply do a sudo Flatpak update. Similar to apt, it'll go through, it'll search and see if there's any updates. If there are, it'll say, hey, do you want to do the updates? You say yes, and it's done. It's very easy, very fast, and it works seamlessly. If you want to delete a Flatpak application, again, it's very simple. It's sudo Flatpak remove. Then it will go through, remove the application. If those dependencies aren't used by any other application, it will go ahead and remove those. So unlike apt, where you have to remember if you're going to do a purge or an auto remove, Flatpak is going to take care of all of that for you. So that's how you can list, update, and remove applications. So those are the basics of using Flatpak on Chrome OS. Again, it's a slick process, but you know what? There are some caveats. So let's talk about those a little bit. Some things you just need to be aware of. First, I found that Snap, as I mentioned earlier, has a larger collection of applications, but in my experience, they really don't integrate as well with Chrome OS for the following reasons. Snap doesn't have launcher icons for some apps. It's harder to install Snap on Chrome OS. Flatpak actually lists instructions for how to install Chrome OS. So that means that they kind of support Chrome OS, which I really like that they're seems like they're working together. Also, Snap seems to be missing some user interface components when I run those. And they're random, and not every one of them is a deal killer. And let's face it, we're also having problems just with Linux beta in that same area. So it could just be a feature, not of Snap, but of Linux beta. Also, there seems to be with Snap scaling issues. And again, that's just true in Linux beta, especially if you've got a high resolution screen, that scaling of those applications gets a little weird. So that's why I've kind of steered away from Snap. Flatpak seems to be handling all that a little bit better for me. And again, like all Christini software, some will work well, some still have UI issues in Flatpak. So your mileage will vary. And as we're learning about Christini especially, is it depends on the device you're on. So you could be on an Asus device, you could be running a Pure Pixel, and the two of you running Linux beta could have a completely different experience or success rate with applications. So know that it's very variable right now. That makes troubleshooting quite hard. Just check my installing Arduino on Chrome OS post, and you can see all of the comments under that where people have had a different experience based on the machine that they have. As I mentioned earlier, another caveat to Flatpak is it doesn't have everything, and I still find myself using apt to install specific types of commands. Now, I almost always use apt for any terminal commands. For instance, neofetch is a terminal command I always install on every device so I can get device information. You still need to get that in apt. You're not going to find that in Flatpak. That is a terminal program that comes out of the Debian repositories. So you're still going to be managing two application managers. You're always going to be checking on apt. You're always going to be checking on Flatpak. However, because you've done this, I think, though, you're going to find it's a much better experience with the Flatpak apps because they are the most up-to-date apps, much more updated than their apt equivalents. Now, some may say, okay, Stephen, I've got to learn another package manager on top of apt, and you still haven't convinced me. Well, let me just say that Flatpak is so similar to apt in the way that you manage packages, it's an easy transition to go back and forth. All you do basically is replace the word apt with Flatpak and it just works. So yeah, it's a little extra learning, but you know what? Hey, it's a little extra learning. You get to do something. So I think that's a good thing. You get to learn something. And those are my four caveats, just things to be aware of before you dive into Flatpak. Now, if you happen to be a Linux user on another device, just remember that Flatpak is not just for Chrome OS. It's also for that device as well. I use Elementary OS, and Flatpak works flawlessly and is actually integrated into the Elementary OS App Store. So Flatpak can also give you some consistency across devices. So again, if you're a Linux user, you might want to look at that. Lastly, and before we dive into the addendum, I will tell you that everything I talked about here, of course, is in the show notes. I'll also link to the show notes in this episode on the Linux Christini resource page I have at www.pixelpowerpodcast.com/Linux. That is a page that contains anything I've ever talked about regarding Christini or Linux. So all those past episodes I've had, you can go there. You can get those get links to those direct episodes. I got tips on there. I've added some things that I've learned over time, and that just is continuing to grow to be a resource page. And that concludes this edition of talking about Flatpak under Christini. Now, let's dive into a very long addendum because it has been quite some time since I've talked to you. All right, we got 17 items. Let's dive into them and go through them addendum style like I always do. Just really quick and little commentary. Android 11, June 3rd beta was the release date. That event has been postponed. Google states, now is not the time to celebrate. I would completely agree, Google. Duo, on the other hand, Duo is actually making itself available on Android tablets and Chrome OS without a phone number, which is great. And guess what? It's also a PWA. If you're not sure what a PWA is, listen to last episode. Progressive web app, but Duo is now a progressive web app for Chrome OS, and it works really well. And I love that we don't need that phone number anymore. Google Assistant, for me, has a new device connected to it, and it is the Genie Breathe XL. What I found is I was spending more time in my, I guess, what do I call it? My makerspace, my studio, but now it's become my home office. And one of the things is I wanted some cleaner air in this small office. And so I bought the Genie Breathe XL, link on the in the show notes. And what it does is it cycles through the air and keeps my air fresh through the day for me. The great thing about it is I can connect it to my Google Assistant and say, hey, Assistant, set air filter on, set air filter off, or I can do things like set air filter speed to low, medium, or high. And I also have it built into routines. When I'm upstairs, before I go downstairs to my office, I say, hey, Assistant, I'm going downstairs. It turns on everything I need downstairs, including my air filter. I can let that run for a few minutes before I get to my office. I open my office and I've got supposedly fresh breath or fresh breath. I hopefully always have fresh breath, but fresh air, right? And it's working really well. So check that out. Genie Breathe XL is about $89. Not bad price for air filter. Interesting to note that the Google Home is no longer available on the Google Store. Wonder if there is a new model imminent. Probably so. It was probably going to be released at that June 3rd event, but now all that's been pressed and pushed out. So we'll probably have to wait a little bit longer. Have you all been reading about this Lenovo Chromebook Duet? I've talked about it on past episodes. Man, I am so close to pulling the trigger on that thing. I'd like to see it. A lot of blog posts on this thing. However, I don't want to purchase from Best Buy because, as you know, I get ad supported, or not ad supported, but the show is supported through your purchases on Amazon. So I've built up Amazon funds so that I can purchase devices. And I'm waiting for the Chromebook Duet. I've saved enough. You're generous of starting your purchasing from Amazon, from the website. I've saved enough money that I have enough for the Duet, but it's only available at Best Buy. So as soon as it's available on Amazon, I will probably pull the trigger, get one. We'll take a look at it together. Now, that just means I'm going to be behind the times because lots of people are out there and they have them now. But as you know, I like to give them a longer period of time, really use them and give you the real deal. So wish me luck and hopefully that'll be available soon. Was tooling around with my Pixel phone, noticed that there is a new feature available in one of the latest updates. It's rules. So it's, you go to settings, system, rules, and you can do things like silence, vibrate, or ring. Set that to silence, vibrate, or ring when you connect to or disconnect to a specific Wi-Fi network. So what I've done is when I connect to my home network, my ringer is turned on. When I connect to my work network at the college, then it turns it to vibrate. And so based on those settings, you can make that change. Interesting that that's in there. I'm hopeful that they'll expand that to have some other triggers, but right now it's kind of a nice little option. So check that out. As I've mentioned several times, I talked a lot in, I didn't talk a lot. The whole last episode was dedicated to progressive web apps, and there's a lot going on with progressive web apps. So don't ignore them, folks. They're coming, and they're coming in a big way. For instance, long touch shortcuts are coming on Android for progressive web apps. You know, when you hold down on an icon, you get additional options. Those will soon be a feature of progressive web apps on Android. Now, we'll have to see if that transitions over to Android apps on Chrome OS. So that'll be interesting to see. Also, progressive web apps. I mentioned last time that I was using Find PWA to locate progressive web apps. I've got a new favorite. It's PWA Store. And I've got a link in the show notes so that you can check that out. But it is the way that I'm keeping up with the most current progressive web apps right now. And finally, as a follow-up to the progressive web app episode, there is a flag in the new Canary channel that's going to allow you to load progressive web apps at launch of your Chrome OS device. This is something not even Chrome OS apps could do. And so this is interesting, again, that they're building out these functionality into these progressive web apps. But what you might do, for instance, is you might have the Twitter progressive web app automatically load on startup so that you can immediately read your tweets, DM your folks, and do whatever you need to do on Twitter. We also saw a significant release the last couple of weeks, Krita, which is an open source Play Store image creation application. And it really ups the quality on what you can do with an Android app under Chrome OS or on an Android tablet. Krita is an open source tool that a lot of people use to create art. I wouldn't say it's completely a Photoshop replacement. Some people will say that. It's more artistic in nature with brushes and pencils. And it is an app that really works well under Chrome OS and tablet mode and on Android tablets. If you have a Pixel 4, you probably want to check out a new app on the Play Store called the Soli Sandbox. And what it allows you to do, it's really designed for developers, but what you can do as a user is just check it out and learn how to play around with the Soli, which is the radar on the front of your Pixel device. It's that feature that lets you swipe with your hand just across the device, not touching the device, to fast forward or rewind music. It just lets you play around with that. And then application developers can use that to help them develop an app. I went and downloaded it, played with a little bit to see what the capabilities of that radar are. I do wish more and more application creators would make use of the Soli function. So hopefully this will encourage them to do that. Another cool application I found on the Play Store was something called Google Action Blocks. And this creates a large button on your home screen, and you can customize those icons to access Google Assistant actions such as make a phone call, start a video call, send a text message, play video, play music, set an alarm, open an app, open a calendar, get directions, or any other custom action that you can create in Google Assistant, you can create this large button. So if I wanted a button that I could just tap on my home screen that would quickly, for instance, turn on my office, like I mentioned earlier with the Genie fan, I could do that. Instead of saying it, I just tap a button on my home screen and it would fire that action. So it's a pretty cool application. I wasn't aware of it. You start to add that with what I talked about it a minute ago with the rules, and you see where we're finally seeing Google start to look into some of those automated actions that are so popular on iOS. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more of those automations and kind of macro applications coming. All right, this next one is just a fun one. I don't know where I found out about it. I just happened to, just by happenstance, this one came up. Do Chrome:// Dino, D-I-N-O, in your browser. And what'll happen is you'll get the page that appears when something doesn't go right, right? It's the little thing with the dinosaur on it. Well, did you know if you tap on the dinosaur or hit your space bar, depending on which platform you're on, then you can enter a dino jumping game where the little dinosaur is animated and you can jump over obstacles. It's kind of a fun game. You can waste a little bit of time with it, but I just thought it was neat to see that little Easter egg built into Chrome OS. Since I was last with you, we also saw the release of Chrome OS 83 has been released on the Stable channel with some great new features that you should check out, such as name your virtual desktops. If you're not using virtual desktops, you need to be learning how to use those. By the way, four-finger swipe between them, left to right. Four-finger swipe will get you left to right, will get you between those virtual desktops. But again, when you three-finger swipe straight up on your trackpad, that'll bring you to the virtual desktops. Click on where it says desktop one, desktop two, and you can rename those. So that's pretty handy. Also have a new tab mode for browsers, for the browser and tablet mode. So when you put your Chrome OS device, let's say your Pixelbook, or if you have a Pixel Slate and it's in tablet mode, what you'll have is a larger button to display your tabs, and then you get these large thumbnails at the top. It's pretty nice. It was designed for the Pixel Slate and the Duet that I mentioned above, the Lenovo Duet. So if you have one of those devices, you'll really get to experience that and see what that's like. So it's interesting that Google has gotten out of the tablet game, but they continue to add tablet features to Chrome OS and continue to work with Lenovo to build the Duet. Looks like the tablet features in Chrome OS are not going away soon, but hopefully they're just going to get better and better. So also in Chrome OS 83, we saw more power settings customization based on whether your device is plugged in or it's running from battery. So that's a welcome addition. Your Google Assistant can now control media with stop, pause, play, etc. Honestly, I didn't know it couldn't do that before because I don't play a lot of media. on my Pixel book or Pixel slate. So that's probably going to be a welcome addition to some of you. Also, tab groups. Not sold on these yet, but it's a way to group a bunch of open tabs and name them. The problem is you can't pin them. So if you have a tab within a group and you pin it, it drops out of the tab. Now, if I could create a tab group, pin those, and keep that, I would be okay with that. The other thing that I haven't figured out, and I don't think there is a way to do this, you can't save those groups. So I couldn't open a group later that I had created. So for that, I am still using, I believe it's called Toby, which lets me keep groups and open a bunch of tabs at once. So maybe that's just, you know, we're at the beginning. Hopefully that will get better. The other thing that comes with Chrome OS does require a couple of flags, but again, we talked a lot about Christini, and if you're using Christini, you should go ahead and turn these flags on. First of all, the features that you get when you turn these flags on, again, the flags are in the show notes, are tabs in your terminal, so you can have multiple tabs open. You can split your terminal into sections, and you can theme. Finally, you can add a theme to your terminal. So the flags are Chrome:\flag\#terminal-system-app. And Chrome, blah, 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 flag/terminal-system-app-split. See, it's better just go to the show notes. Why did I even try and say that? I don't know. And then finally, the other thing you're going to love if you are a Christini user released in Chrome OS 83 is the ability to resize your Christini container so you can make it larger, smaller based on the need and either give space back to Chrome OS or take away if you don't need it. Generally, you don't need a lot of space for Chrome OS, especially with progressive web apps on the way. And if you're not using Android apps, you probably don't need any space whatsoever. And so you can give all that space to Linux and really build out that Linux container. So all those are welcomed additions to Chrome OS 83. Again, released on the Stable Channel. I'm on Chrome OS 84 on beta and looking forward to seeing what we're going to add there. I mentioned earlier that you can get a free Google Nest Mini. Or did I mention that? Yes, I did. I mentioned that when we talked about our feedback. You can, and there is a link again in on the Pixel Power Podcast Reddit page. So make sure you check the show notes for the link or just search Pixel Power Podcast in Reddit. And I have a direct link where you can check to see if you are eligible for that free Google Nest Mini. I think this is the second Google Nest Mini I've gotten for free. And I had two Google Minis before that. So this is my fourth free device. Man, they're just giving these things away like candy. And then finally, a couple of things that are not necessarily Pixel related, Google related, just some really cool things that have happened recently. Raspberry Pi has been upgraded to 8 gigabytes. Can you imagine that? A system on a board that has 8 gigabytes now. And along with it comes a new 64-bit OS because you need a 64-bit OS to access all 8 gigabytes of data. So as soon as those are available easily, I'll probably snag one of those and be testing that out. I really enjoy messing around with those devices. So if you are interested in Raspberry Pis and what they can do, I'm sure you're excited about that as well. And then finally, I am kind of a retro computing enthusiast, and one of the things I'm going to do, and I've already posted episode one, is I'm going to take a 2020 look at the Commodore Plus 4. The Commodore Plus 4 is a computer that nobody wanted, nobody needed. It was overshadowed by the 64, was overshadowed by the VIC-20 even, for heaven's sakes, by the 128, by the Amiga. It was somewhere in there. It was misunderstood. Everybody thought it was a successor to the 64. It really wasn't. It was supposed to be something else. But what I'm going to do is take a 2020 look. And the first episode, what we've done is just a quick unboxing. What would it be like if you got a Plus 4 today? We unbox it. We look at the contents. And then what we're going to do is go through and learn how to use the Plus 4 together. And again, throw in some modern pieces. For instance, one of the things I would love to be able to do is actually type a blog post on the Commodore Plus 4 and get that data file off of there and be able to post that to GitHub. So if you are so inclined, there's a link in my YouTube to my YouTube channel in the show notes. So you can check that out. It's very easy though. It's youtube.com/Stephen Combs, and you can follow along and also check out some of the other videos I have there. A few of them are Google related. So you may want to take a look at those. For instance, I did do a quick little open the box on the Lenovo Yoga Tab with Smart Assistant, I think is the name. And I'll be throwing in some other things along the way. That finally concludes our Getting Caught Up edition of the addendum. Hopefully you found something of interest in there and you're hanging in there with me. And as always, I want to encourage you to send me feedback, and you can do that by sending an email to Stephen@pixelpowerpodcast.com. I will read those. You can also leave a voice message by using the Anchor app if you listen on the Anchor app, or I have a link in the show notes where you can click and quickly leave an audio message and I'll just edit you right into an episode. And of course, you can join the conversation over on Reddit. We've talked about that several times. Or you can tweet using the hashtag Pixel Power Podcast. So I hope you enjoyed episode 47. I look forward to talking to you next time. And hey, everybody, please be safe out there. Be kind, respect one another, and be healthy.